If you were able to walk into a room confident that you would be well-received, seen, heard, and appreciated by others, and all it took was a few changes in how you navigate your everyday relationships, would you be willing to make those changes? It is possible to be both fully authentic and to experience the best relationships of your life. Now, here is the host of Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Makayla Gaffin-Stone.
Hello and welcome to this very special episode of Navigating Complicated Relationships. I'm your host, Makayla Gaffin-Stone, and if you've been following me for the last year, you'll know that I do a lot of things that are behavioral. Everything stems from behavior, and that went in a number of directions. So today's episode is Beyond the Mic, a year in review, because this is the 52nd episode. And we've gone a lot of journeys together. So interestingly, though, the place I want to begin is not with one of those journeys, but with something that's said in the introduction that you just heard. And that is showing up authentically. Can you show up authentically? This is a word that gets bandied about all over the place. People talking all the time about, I'm going to be authentic and we should be authentic and everybody should be authentic. And that's wonderful. Except I don't think that word means what an awful lot of people think it means. Because sometimes when you are an authentic person, you're showing up as you truly are. Not everybody is going to like that. Not everybody is going to agree with you. You're going to annoy the blue blazes out of some people. That comes with being authentically you. If you're showing up in all your glory, then you are going to annoy people. And that's fine. If you can accept it, which so many people can't, it's fine that you upset people. It's fine that not everybody likes you. They don't have to. This is sorting out your people from the people who are not on the same path as you. It's not a problem, right? But how many people lose that in the desire to be in a crowd, to be in a group, to be appreciated and accepted, right? We see it politically all over the place where there's the in crowd. And if you're not part of the in crowd, they're going to yell at you. And that happens both sides, right? It's not, I'm not picking a party. I'm not picking anything out specifically. I'm looking at the whole thing as an overview of what's going on in our world today. And what's going on in our world today is people who lost their sense of purpose during the pandemic. They just felt rudderless and unsure of the future and unsure of their place in it. And what am I doing here anyway? These kind of questions came up for a lot of people. And that has since been exploited by those who are, should we say, savvy enough to manipulate those people into a group and give them something to yell about and give them slogans and give them like really easy ways to make a lot of noise. And it's serving their agenda. It's not serving the group in any way, shape or form. So this is something that's going on today. And the word authentic and authenticity, it gets thrown out there. But you know what? It doesn't mean following the crowd. It doesn't mean yelling about something that you know nothing about. It means that you need to look at yourself. Who am I? What do I stand for? What are my values? What am I presenting to the world? What do I want? You know, where am I going with this? These are all legit questions. And I did do an episode during this past year on finding your purpose because it's such an important thing. We need a sense of purpose. We need to know what the point is to all the things we go through in life, right? And a part of that is with your purpose becoming focused. There's an image I posted a couple of days ago of basically there's a circle with lots of little arrows going from it. Looks a bit like a child's drawing of the sun. And then next to it, there's a circle and there's one long arrow pointing up. What that symbolizes, the circle with all the small arrows, is your focus, your attention, your awareness going in all these different directions. And they don't get very far. Those arrows aren't long. They're quite contained. and it's scattered, right? So you're scattering your energy. The one circle with the one arrow pointing up is your focus on a purpose, your focus on a given direction, a priority. And when you have that kind of focus, you can go far. So what's your focus for the year ahead? What's your focus for the week ahead? Like, have you figured that out? Have you considered it? I'd love for you to go through the episodes that I've done already and have a look at them and see if there's anything there that interests you to consider for your purpose. There's a lot of different information in there. How are you with boundaries, for example? Because I've done a couple of episodes on boundaries, and you really need boundaries. You know, Gen X was raised without boundaries because the boomer generation really didn't have the bandwidth for that. They came from a place of lack and were very, very busy trying to make money, get the house, get the two cars, and, you know, tick all the boxes that they'd been told were the boxes they needed to tick. So kids were kind of, okay, you know, they're there, don't know what to do with them, so off you go, come back when it's dark. There was a lot of what to do expectations on Gen X as they grew up, but no how to, right? So Gen X is a feral generation. Gen X raised itself. We were the latchkey kids. We were the ones who got home and made something to eat because nobody was going to be back for a while. And, you know, sorted ourselves out. We kind of ran with the crowd, right? So boundaries weren't a thing that Gen X learned. So how can you pass that on to your kids? So what we have is a society with an awful lot of people in it that don't know anything about boundaries. Now, why are boundaries important? Because they delineate where you are and where the other person is, and your space, your acceptance of things, and where you draw the line. And it makes it more clear for you, more safe for you to be who you are, because you know who that is. You're not determined by other people's opinions. And that's the problem today. We're kind of floating around going with the loudest opinion. It's not even the most common sense opinion. It's the loudest one. And so people are just yelling at each other. Nobody's listening. And then the herd just sort of go with the loud noise. And that's, you know, where are we going with as a society with that? So the thing is, it starts with you. It starts with one person changing how they show up, making your boundaries, figuring out what they are, letting people know about them, and have them make sense. You know, it's not an arbitrary, well, I'm not going to do that today, but I'll do it tomorrow. It's not that kind of thing. That's not a boundary. Some people think it is, but a boundary is just deciding what you're going to accept in your life and what you're not, and what you're here for, how you're going to show up. And you let people know that, right? That's you showing up with your boundaries. Respect other people's boundaries. If they happen to have them, that's great. Can you respect those? It's a case of acceptance, right? So I mentioned politics right in the beginning because I love throwing out subjects that we're not supposed to talk about. And actually, while we're there, what's this thing about you can't talk about politics? Why not? That's exactly what we should be doing. Critical thinking is something that's no longer taught in schools. And we're not able to talk about politics anymore, which is nuts. Because I would love to have a conversation with someone that can tell me in a common sense way why they think I should vote one way or the other. Because right now I'm looking at the political scene and there isn't anybody I want to vote for. So yelling at me isn't going to get me to do a thing. But has anybody stopped to think, how do I express my beliefs? How do I express what I believe to be true so that this person can receive it? Nope, we're all busy yelling. So that is something about boundaries and about sense of purpose. Through this whole process of doing this podcast, I have had such a great time because I'm here getting to talk to you about the things that I think are important. And you're listening to the things that you also think are important. Now, whether you agree with my opinion on them or not, I don't know if you haven't told me, but I'm always open to that kind of feedback because that's where you get a dialogue, right? So some of the things that I covered, particularly in the beginning, was a lot of parental training. Because I'm a board certified behavior analyst, and that's something I have a strong background in, and it's all about communication. Again, communicating boundaries is key for kids to know what's expected of them and what you want them to do. Adults tend to forget that kids have a tiny, tiny bandwidth. They don't know, they don't have life experience the way you do. So their understanding of what you're telling them is really limited to whatever meaning they've got from the words you use. They can't make those bigger context sort of ideas and put it all together. So we have to be clear in what we're saying. And so many parents aren't clear because they don't know they need to be. It's a subject that is fascinating to me and very, very, what can I say? It's like soul food, because when I have those conversations with parents and they realize how they have not been clear, that we can change so much. Child's understanding is different, their behavior becomes different, and we start to see boundaries coming up in a real, helpful, kind of authentic way. So that's a place where, authentic can happen. So, anxiety in kids was another topic I went over this past year, and anxiety in adults too, right? Because the pandemic gave us all a whole lot of anxiety about all the things we thought we knew about the world were no longer true. And we got tipped up with the lockdown and not being able to see each other in person, and suddenly everything's online. If you happen to have a computer, can you imagine for the people who did not have access to internet, did not have computers? How would that go down? I imagine there was a lot of anxiety and depression, right? So I've covered that on a few episodes, and I've appreciated the feedback on those because a lot of people said, didn't realize that how I behaved with my anxiety was affecting how my child reaches theirs, right? How the child deals with theirs. If a child sees you stressing out and, screaming at the TV or giving the finger to the driver in front, that kind of thing, then that's what they're learning. Those are their coping mechanisms for moving forward. And one of the reasons they get into trouble at school, right? Well, that's what my mom does when she's mad. Or, insert situation here, but you get the point that the child isn't listening to your words in this case. They're watching what you do. And that's something that I'd like you to consider moving forward. You're the role model, right? You are showing your kids how to be an adult. So, what kind of adult are you showing them? We go back to purpose here. We go back to boundaries here. It's important to know where you stand and not follow the crowd. Because if you're asked to explain why you're following that particular crowd, can you? Do you actually know what you're talking about? I've come across a lot of people that don't. And when that's uncovered, they just shout louder. So this is not a very productive, it's not a very positive way of living. And that affects your brain, which is something else I did a podcast episode on. It's going to affect how your brain works for you. If you're looking at negative things all the time and taking a very narrow negative view, your brain gets used to that and it gives you a whole lot of stress hormones and you can't make a good decision from there. So you might want to rethink whatever cause you're currently following. Is it really what you think it is? Can you be big enough to say, you know what? I made a mistake. In any area of your life, can you say that? A lot of people feel threatened by having to say, I made a mistake. But that's where the learning is. Interesting thought, right? We have a break right now. I'm going to come back with more of the review of the last year of podcasting episodes. I've had such a good time. So stay tuned, and I will see you in just a minute here on Navigating Complicated Relationships.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Mikayla Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Mikayla Gaffin Stone. Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Mikayla Gaffin Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to mickey@gaffinstone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back. I'm so happy you're here. If you'd like to email me, Mickey is mikkei@gaffinstone.com. Mickey@gaffinstone.com. I'm not a mouse, so it's not that spelling. So before the break, I was talking about some of the things that I've been able to bring to you in this podcast. And we were talking about parental roles, boundaries, and authenticity. Like, how are you showing up really? What stories are you telling yourself that actually, you know, they're not really accurate, are they? Can you look at yourself honestly? Because that is where your power is. The one thing you can control in this world is yourself. So if you're busy not looking at you, maybe you're afraid that you've made mistakes, maybe you're just unsure of what you're going to find there. So instead of looking at yourself, you're looking out at everybody else and judging. You're really wasting your time on this planet, right? We have one shot at being here. None of us know how long it is. So how are you going to use yours? And one of the questions that I like to ask myself, and I ask other people, is if this was your last day on this planet, and you knew it was, are you currently doing what you would like to do on that day? Have you done things in the week before that have led you to this place and you're happy with them? Like, are these things that you would choose at the end of your life to say, yes, this is how I'm spending my day? It's something to consider, because if you are doing a lot of stuff that you're not happy about, you don't want to be doing, then I suggest you have a look at it. And really see not the obstacles, not the problems that are there, but where are the opportunities, where are the little gaps where you can make a change and start to shift from what you don't want to be doing to what you do want to be doing. And that takes me to another episode that I did, which was about the emotional brain. Now, your emotional brain, it listens to you. It doesn't judge what you're saying as that's nonsense, this is brilliant, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, okay, that's where we're going. We'll go there. So as I mentioned before the break, if you're going to focus on negative things and look at how miserable everything is and feed yourself information that backs that up, then your brain is going to say, oh, hey, okay, we're in a pity party right now and we're in a black hole and it's miserable. So here, let me show you more things like that. And it will give you more things to verify that all that miserable stuff is accurate, right? You will actually start doing behaviors that bring you those things. And this is where people sometimes miss the point. Like, a mindset coaching, for example, which is very popular. People love the mindset coaching. It's not so much, okay, I'll think happy thoughts and everything will be wonderful. There is a whole process in between those two things. They're not wrong on their own, but they're not the complete picture. So when you're looking at your emotional brain and how to work with it for your benefit so that you can get good things done, look at that mindset piece and say, okay, I'm thinking happy thoughts and I'm looking at happy things, and this is where I want to go. Now, the big question is, what are the behaviors you need to do between point A and point D, right? Like, what do you need to do? Those are the behaviors that will make a difference and will basically affect where you end up. So if you procrastinate all the time, I've done a podcast episode about that too. And procrastination basically means you're trying to do something that you don't really want to do. Now, either you're afraid it's not going to work, you're afraid it's not going to be perfect, or it's just like the last thing on your fun to do list. Whichever it is, you need to do a little work around that so that the procrastination isn't getting in your way. Because while you're busy doing like a whole lot of wheel spinning, you're not actually getting anywhere and you're wasting your time. So time is the one thing we can't get more of, right? Money is something everybody focuses on, and that could be a year worth of podcasts. Money is what everybody focuses on, but money is energy. We need it. You know, we all have bills to pay and so on. We need it. It's a good thing, but it's not the main point. It's not the focus of what you're here for. It's something that, you know, is good to have, helps you to do more things, but it's not the be all and end all. And when that becomes the number one thing that we all look at, everything else goes sideways. You're not doing the right behaviors because it's coming from a place of lack. I don't have money and I want money. Or it comes from a place of greed. I've got money and I want more. You know, it's not a good foundation to move from. So when your behavior comes from there, it's going to show up in the results you get. Some things are going to be off. It's not going to be exactly how you wanted it to be. So how can you look at what you can give, what you can show up doing for other people typically? Because, you know, we're social animals. Human beings get an immediate feedback from doing something that's helpful to another person. So, for example, in my coaching, I absolutely love it when somebody gets an aha moment and they say, oh, I didn't know that I was eating that food because I had this emotional connection, for example. When I give them a different path, a different way to deal with that emotion so they don't have to eat that food, the whole joy that comes from that is like soul food for me. If I didn't have to pay a mortgage and bills, then I, you know, money wouldn't be an issue. But one does need that piece. So let's just leave it where it went. The key, though, is that's not why I do it. The key is I do it because I want that soul food. I want that realization from the other person, that aha moment. And it has to be theirs because that's what's authentic, right? One of the things for a coach to understand, and I've worked with a few that really haven't grasped this yet, but one of the things to understand is it's not about your agenda as a coach. It's not about where you think that person needs to get to or how. It's about what do they want and how can you facilitate that path for them getting there. That's what it's about. And they will find their realizations, their aha moments, their breakthroughs. They'll find them on that path. It's not something you can force as a coach. So that's something to understand as a client too. It's not your coach's responsibility to make things happen for you. They set up the situation, they give you every opportunity to succeed, but you have to show up and do the work. That's how the coaching relationship works. So it's just like teaching in a school too. The kids have to pay attention and listen to the teacher in order to get the information that they've been given. Now, schools are a whole other subject, and I could go into that another day, but I don't know that we have all the time we need for schools. But the school system, let me just say this piece, the school system is broken. It's broken in any country you care to look at because they're all based on a similar model. They may do a little differently how they run their lessons in the day, but it's basically the same model. And that model worked, I guess, for the Industrial Revolution, where they just wanted to churn out a whole lot of people who go into factories and do what they were told to do without questioning it. And when they hear a bell ring, they go to do the next thing, which is one of the reasons you have bells in schools, right? So it's a hangover from that. There are different ways that we could do this. And yet we're stuck with this broken system. This feeds into the society that's just not where it needs to be. We need to grow as a society. And right now we're running backwards as fast as we can, which I think is very sad, very, very sad. Now, one of the reasons we're running backwards has formed a big part of my podcast over the past year, and that is food. The food industry, particularly in America, are doing a terrible disservice to the population. And frankly, I don't know how they sleep at night. I really don't. Because the food industry is knowingly using chemicals in food products that they then sell to us and say, this is healthy, you know, and they call it all kinds of cute names that make you think you're eating something healthy. And they put it in a box that looks like, you know, it's a sort of earthy brown and green, you know, so it looks like plants. Whereas actually, this is a chemical concoction that your body does not recognize, does not know what to do with, and cannot build and repair you from it. Far less for kids. Like, wow, what we're doing to our children with this food blows my mind. No wonder they can't pay attention at school. If you're giving them this chemical crap storm called cereal and sending them off to school with that, well, have a look at the ingredient label next time you go to buy some cereal and see what's in it, actually. And any ingredient you don't understand, can you just like Google it so that you know what it is? There is a particular cereal, for example, that's known for its bright colors and leprechaun on the cover. And it has little, but they call them marshmallows. I'm not entirely sure that that is what they are, but you get the cereal I'm talking about, right? In that cereal, in the list of ingredients, there is trisodium phosphate. Now, if you then go to your hardware store and look for a box of trisodium phosphate, you'll find it. And what it's for is cleaning your walls before you paint them. So this is in the cereal that you're feeding your kid. And then you send them to school and want them to get good grades and wonder why they behave badly. Well, I'm not blaming parents for this. I'm blaming the food industry and the marketers that they employ, because they're selling this to you as something that's great for kids, gets them off to school, they're happy to go to school. Actually, their brains are on crack. That's what's happening to them. And so they're fine until the chemicals wear off and then all hell breaks loose. So look at the food that you're buying. And while we're on that particular topic, and I have a feeling that's going to be coming up a fair bit right now, but the makers of aspartame, which is a sweetener that's been around for a long time, so people typically think it's been around a while, therefore it's okay. No, no, it isn't. There are links to cancer, which have been shown in many studies. You can find them if you look them up. There are links to all kinds of side effects from aspartame, not least of which is overworking the pancreas and causing sort of pre-diabetes. It's very problematic. So the company understand this. They've been getting these messages. And so they took action. Isn't that cool? Actually, no, it isn't. Because the action they took was to rename it. So aspartame is now called AminoSweet, which makes it sound like a very natural, healthy product. It's the same aspartame. So ask yourself during the break, which is coming up, just consider for a moment, why is a food company relabeling something that's been around for some time after they've been told what a problem it is? What is their motive for renaming it? Are they helping the people that they're feeding this to? I'm going to say no, but what do you think about it? We're going to have a break right now, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you for listening to Navigating Complicated Relationships. I'm your host, Michaela Gaffin-Stone, and it is my pleasure to be here. I love doing this podcast. See you in a minute.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Mickey@GaffinStone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back. Again, I'm so glad you're here. I love that you keep showing up and you're listening to the podcast, hopefully making some notes, because maybe something's landing for you. Maybe I'm poking just a little bit and you are going to think about what I'm saying. And if I haven't annoyed anybody yet, then maybe I haven't been showing up as much as I should be. I don't know. You know, I have this thing that we all should be dancing to our own tune, right? We all have different music. My taste happens to be eclectic, so it goes all over the place, but that's me. And that literally is me. And I've been told so many times, you need to just focus in one place. You need to, you know, niche down. This is very popular for coaches. And the variety of things that I've covered over the last year is me niching down. You should see it if I really spread. Like, there is a lot that's there because I'm interested in life. I'm interested in what affects people and how I can help with that. Behavior runs through everything that I look at because that is what gets us our results. Your thoughts will inform how your emotions come up, right? Like, I'm going to give you a tip here. This is a whole extra thing that I don't think I've put in any of my episodes. Let me know if I did and I forgot about it. But this particular thing is a sequence of how we work when we're about to do something or we're following a certain direction. So an event happens, and events are, whether you like it or not, neutral. They don't have anything attached to them. So let's say you lose your house. Okay, that's a pretty big one. And I'm sure most people would say, what, are you nuts? Losing your house is a terrible thing. Okay, well, you just had a thought about that. And your thought is going to lead to the emotion of being very upset and very sort of panicky and whatever else comes with it for you. What stories then come up in your mind about losing your house? Okay, and then what you're thinking about that and how you're feeling about that is going to absolutely decide your behavior. You are going to behave based on that whole process. Now, to one person, it might be a complete and utter disaster to lose the house. Like, oh no, this is just the worst thing that could happen. To someone else, they might lose their house and there's a much better one that they get because they no longer have that first place, right? So to them, that would be initially the whole, oh no, this is terrible. But then it becomes, wow, you know, that was the best thing that could have happened. The event is the same. The thought about the event changes based on your perspective. So this is important to understand, and I hope you're making notes on it, because you can test it for yourself in all kinds of places where an event happens. Like, here's another one I can offer you. Someone died. Now, okay, you can immediately say, oh, that's sad. But Kind of depends, doesn't it? Depends on were they 120 years old, having lived their best life, and they passed away in their sleep, and you know they're no longer in pain. That is a little different to somebody who's, say, 3 years old and got hit by a car. You know, these are very different, but the baseline event is the same. Somebody died. So your view about that is completely different. If you know that person, then you're going to feel it a lot more than if it's somebody on the other side of the planet you've never heard of. That doesn't mean anything good or anything bad. It simply is, right? You're going to be more emotional about something that you're more aware of. So the point to some of this is you can control your behavior by controlling your thoughts, and you control your thoughts by being aware that there is another perspective. What could that be? Is the other perspective something that can be helpful? Can you move forward from this other place? Or are you going to be stuck in this sort of loop of misery? And that is a choice. You can choose what you think about it, and you can choose if you look for another perspective or not. And here's where a lot of people will get irritated by what I'm saying. And the irritation is, well, you don't understand. This was terrible for me, and you're just making it a small thing. You know, you're not bothering. No. That's not the case, but the whole thing is, even if I was, it doesn't matter. My opinion of what you're going through doesn't matter. The point is, what are you going to do about it? It's yours. As I said much earlier on, the only thing you can really control is yourself. So are you taking advantage of that? Are you actually bringing some control into your situation? What could you do differently today that would improve your life? Maybe it improves your life down the road. Say you're stuck in a job you can't stand. Okay, that happens. That happens to a lot of us a lot of the time, right? How are you showing up to that job? What could you do differently? Do you not like it because your boss is complaining that you're late all the time? And sure, you're late because you're tired, because your boss makes you work too hard. You know, whatever that sort of cycle is, what part of that can you change so that things improve at work? You're still doing the same job. I'm not telling everybody to go and, you know, rage quit and go find something else to do. But how can you show up to that same place in a way that will improve it? What is your boss's problem, right? Like, a lot of bosses will be very micromanaging. And typically, when somebody's micromanaging, they feel insecure. They feel like they don't have control. Maybe they've been promoted beyond their capabilities, and that happens way too often. And so that person, to cover it up, micromanages everybody else. It makes them, you know, it's like if you look busy, then you must be doing something useful. The two things don't correlate at all. And sometimes the most useful thing you can do is sit down and stare at a bowl full of flowers while you get some inspiration. That's better than busyness, right? So, what can you do differently at work to improve things? What can you do to help your boss feel a little less stressed and insecure? Because if they feel less stressed and insecure, they're not going to micromanage you so much. So, it is to your benefit to help them, right? So, there's all sorts of roles like that. If you're a parent with a child that's giving you a hard time, they've got all these big behaviors going on, you'll notice the term I use is big behavior. I don't say bad behavior, because when a child is acting out, they are telling you by their behavior that they have a big problem. There's something that's really, really wrong for them, and they can't articulate it with words, so you're getting the behavior. So yeah, tough in the moment. I'm a parent. I get you. I got that. I've also been a Montessori teacher. I get you. But and I've taught in a regular school too. So I understand how hard it is at the time of the big behavior, but when you can, look at it and see what was coming up beforehand. Was there a lot of noise? Was it a very stressful situation? Is it a subject that this child just doesn't understand and can't get? And if that's the case, I would ask you to consider, is there a pattern with what this child is having a problem with? And can you change that pattern? Can you interrupt that pattern so that they don't have the hard time? Because if you can do that, those big behaviors are going to diminish. They may even go away altogether. Because guess what? You're dealing with the problem. The behavior is not the problem, typically. The problem that caused it is the problem. So I'm giving you a lot of stuff here today, even though it's supposed to be a review, but I have covered this in a number of topics. So if you don't remember which ones, why don't you go back to week one and just listen all the way through? Now, sometimes in this podcast, I've also brought in human design. And I've had people question me about that before and say, well, you're a behavior analyst. You have degrees in science. Like, what's going on there? I love that question because it gives me the opportunity to say, this is a living science. This is how I define it, because it works in context of the other things I do. And what I mean by living science is when I do a reading for someone with human design, I'm going to give you the information that I see. I'm going to give you what I understand about you from your chart. The science part is you get to go and test it. And you test it repeatedly. And if you're getting the same results, we have a winner. That's what you do in science. You get a hypothesis. This is what I think is going to happen. You go test it. And if you can keep getting repeatable results, you got a winner. You've proved your hypothesis. So it is a living science. I don't present it in a sciencey way, particularly because it's not necessary. But it's a tool that I use in my ever-growing toolkit to help people understand themselves better so that they can show up in a way that's more, yes, authentic and truly them. Because if you're operating all the time from what you think other people want you to do, you're on such thin ice, it's barely frozen. Like, you are seriously not on solid ground with that at all, because you're trying to figure out what other people want you to do. And it doesn't matter. They're coming from their lens. Again, the only person you can control is yourself. The only thing in this world you can control is yourself. So if you get nothing else today, get that piece that you are responsible for you. There's no blame. There's no shame. And I've absolutely done podcasts on that, because that is a very big deal. When you take away shame and blame, what you get left with is radical self-responsibility. You can look at a situation and say, you know, that sucks. That was terrible. That was awful. That was all the things, right? And I'm going to take responsibility for what I do from here. So it doesn't minimize anything. People get very upset about the thought that their previous experience is being minimized. But that's not the point, nor does it actually matter, because again, you're in control of you. Another person's opinion is really not important. We're told it is, but it isn't. Think of any divorce that you have ever come across, and as 65% of marriages end in divorce, I'm pretty sure you know somebody that has. Maybe it's you. In which case, how did that go? And the question I'm asking here is, did people take sides? Did everybody have an opinion? Did people sort of make somebody the bad person and somebody the victim? I mean, people get so involved in those subjects, and they get, particularly divorced, they get so busy about your business. And if you allow that to sway your behavior and to change where you're going from here, then it's not going to be very satisfactory, because it's not you. Their opinions, whichever side it is, doesn't matter. It's none of their business. And it would be wonderful if people understood that. So again, you can control you. Think about all the ways where you're giving your power away. We have another break coming up, so I will pick this up when we come back, and let's see what you think. Do send me an email if you have some thoughts on the subject. See you in a moment.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Makayla Gaffin-Stone. Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Makayla Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Mickey@GaffinStone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back. I'm Makayla Gaffin-Stone, and this is Navigating Complicated Relationships. Over the last year, we have navigated a lot of complicated relationships because that's the nature of being human, right? We have a lot of complex situations going on. And these days, people tend to want to push the blame out. It's not my fault this happens. It's this person's fault. It's that situation's fault, and so on. And as I mentioned before the break, that model of, you know, the event is neutral. Your thoughts about it create your emotions, which bring you to your actions, what you're going to do, your behavior, and your behavior gets your results. So the results then circle all the way back to your thoughts about the event, and you keep that whole circle going. It's pretty wild that we get into those loops and just accept them as being the only option. So what other things have you thought of that you could do differently? How can a shift in perception be different? So if you're looking at how something affects you, can you look at how it affects other people? The same thing. Is there a shift that can come from that? I already mentioned working with a boss who micromanages. How can you change how you show up so that they don't have the opportunity to micromanage? There's all sorts of things you can look at. But if you are somebody who's what we call externally motivated and validated, so your praise and your criticism comes from outside, and either way, that affects what you do, then you're like a leaf on the wind. You don't know where you're going to go, and you have no control over it. But if you can look to yourself and say, okay, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to respond to this? And you look at those things that in life you think are obstacles, look at it as an opportunity to get creative. What are you going to do differently? How can you get around, over, or through this obstacle? Or is there a different path altogether? You know, you have a choice and you always have options. But when you say X is at fault, whether it's a person or a place or an event, then you're giving your power away. And I invite you not to do that. Take your power back and look at, what can I do with this to make it better? What is my role in this? And here we go again, looking at ourselves and saying, what's my part? What am I doing that causes this problem? Because, you know, it takes two in any given situation. So it's not a fault finding. It's not a blame thing. It's specifically not that. It's more a case of looking for, where are the areas that I can improve? Where are the areas that I can change? And in some relationships, you need to look at, where did I not put a boundary that I really needed? And maybe the relationship is one that can be worked on. Maybe it's not for you and it's not really worth pouring all your energy into. And that's something I've done a podcast episode on, figuring out the flags. That was in the narcissism podcast, but it kind of applies to other relationships too, where you determine, where is it worth me working on? Where is it time to walk away? None of that is a failure. None of that is a failure. Please understand that. When a relationship doesn't work, it means either the choice wasn't correct in the beginning or things have changed. Either way, it's not a failure. It's just how it goes. That's life. And we get hooked and hung up on determining who was right, who was wrong, who was good, who was bad, etc. This is a waste of your energy. It's that little ball I mentioned earlier with all the tiny arrows going in different directions. You're leaking energy like a sieve. This is not helpful. So just let the relationship go how it goes, but you're in control of how you show up for that. You don't need to be mean. You don't need to be nasty. You don't need to call names. Just, you know, sort yourself out and be elsewhere if that's what you need to be. And if you're going to work on it, then figure that out too. Like, how are you going to work on it? Whether this is with a child, whether this is with a partner or at work, how are you going to show up to make it different? Communication is a huge part of that. Clarity in communication is absolutely crucial. You know, the number one thing a person with autism is going to tell you is when they're asking questions about something you're telling them, it's not that that person doesn't want to know or challenges your authority or doesn't believe you. It's none of those things. The person with autism needs clarity. The difference is they know they need clarity, and so they're going to ask the questions, whereas a lot of us will make assumptions and not ask for the clarity. And when you start doing the assumption thing, you know which way you go with that one. It's not in the right direction, right? Because you're looking from your lens, which is not what the other person sees. So clear communication is important. Boundaries for yourself and for other people, really important. And quick question, if you promise yourself something or if you tell yourself you're going to do something, do you? Or do you let yourself down? Because there's work to do if that's the case. You have some things to shore up about your identity. Because if you lie to yourself or if you let yourself down, then you're not really going to do better for other people, are you? And that doesn't lead in a good direction either. So, you know, this last 52 episodes, I've been on Navigating Complicated Relationships with Inspired Choices Network, and they have really allowed me to go in all the directions I want to go in. They've encouraged me, in fact, to keep doing it and to keep showing up. And I love that. It's been great to have all this support and to have people around me who are doing such an awesome job. So at this point, I'd like to say, if you have a podcast in you, if you'd like to reach people and not have to do all the tech stuff, because if you're like me, I'm not particularly techie, then check out Inspired Choices Network, because these guys have got you back. They know what they're doing. Meanwhile, I'm going to actually have a switch for a little while, and I'm going to be on YouTube, and I'll play with that and see what kind of podcasts I'm going to come up with there. And at some point, I will pick up again at Inspired Choices Network, because it's a very cool place to be. And I'm not following the crowd. I'm totally doing my own thing. So I would love for you to let me know what landed for you. Which were your favorite podcast episodes? Where did I poke you? Where did I annoy you? And what made you think? What did you come up with that you really didn't know before? Is it about the food industry? Is it something about communication or parenting, your own boundaries? Did you discover agnotology for the first time? Agnotology, agnotology. That's really important because it affects all of our lives right now. Was that new to you? Because it was new to me. So I passed that on. We have so many subjects covered in these podcasts, and it's been my absolute pleasure to do this. Like I said, everything is behavioral. So where would you like to change your behavior? And understand that you can do anything you believe you can do. So if you really think, I can't do anything about this situation, it's awful, and that's it, I'm stuck in this for life, then you're right, as Henry Ford said. That's absolutely true. But if you believe that you can find a way out, you can find a way to what you do want in life, then you're also absolutely right, and you can. Those things will come to you. So do email me at mickey@gaffinstone.com, which is mickey@gaffinstone.com. And let me know what you think about the podcasts. Let me know what you'd like to hear next. And let me know about your favorites. I love to hear that. It's so cool. Thank you so much for listening. I have appreciated all of you being here. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Navigating Complicated Relationship Show. Michaela returns Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, remember, every relationship is a journey, And with the right tools, you can create stronger, more fulfilling connections.